build your better breakfast at Subway with the new 250 breakfast combo. Get a Western egg white muffin melt with 4 grams of fat, fresh toasted and made to your order. Add a 16-ounce cup of freshly brewed Seattle's Best Coffee, all for only $2.50. Try the new Subway 250 breakfast combo today. Subway, eat fresh.
For a limited time only at participating restaurants. May not be combined with coupon offers or discount cards. Plus tax where applicable. Fat content refers to Western egg white muffin melt prepared according to standard recipe.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Back to the X-Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell, coming to you from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, on the X-Zone Broadcast Network and the Talkstar Radio Network. My email address is xzone@xzoneradiotv.com. On MSN Messenger, xzoneradiotv@hotmail.com. And our website, www.xzoneradiotv.com. My guest this hour is Stephen Myers. He is an author, lecturer, and independent researcher. Stephen has studied the Great Pyramid for over 20 years to understand how this ancient wonder of the world was built and why. His research included traveling to Egypt to conduct extensive on-site research at the Giza Plateau. Stephen Myers has written numerous magazine articles and given many lectures on the subject of the Great Pyramid, compiling his research into the book called Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. Stephen has provided a comprehensive and detailed explanation of how the Great Pyramid was built. Now, he contends that advanced technologies were used to build the Great Pyramid. Stephen also founded a nonprofit foundation dedicated in understanding how and why the Great Pyramid was built. The mission of this foundation is to redevelop these ancient but advanced technologies to help our modern but troubled world. The foundation's website is at www.thepump.org. Joining me now from southwestern Oregon is Stephen Myers. And Stephen, welcome back to the X-Zone. It's been 6 years, six long years. How have you been?
I've been great. Thank you for the opportunity to be back on your show again.
Stephen, over the last 6 years, has there been a lot of research done into the Great Pyramid, and have you made any startling discoveries?
Well, in this last period of time since I've been on your show before, we've established a nonprofit foundation here in the United States, located in Oregon, and it's dedicated to understanding how the Great Pyramid was built and why. And that foundation has conducted quite a bit of research, which has been compiled and put into my book, Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid.
Now, Stephen, how did a gentleman from southwestern Oregon get interested in the Great Pyramid of Egypt?
Well, I've always had a highly technical background. I got that from my father. He was one of those fellows that could fix anything, could just about do anything, and a little bit of that rubbed off onto me. My degree is related to fluid mechanics, and I have a, here in the United States, the Federal Communications First Class Radio License. And even for fun, some of my hobbies are quite technical, amateur radio operator, and a few other things. But anyway, I really enjoy technology and also period authentic technology from different time periods, you know, ancient, like Middle Ages and that type of thing. So I have a love of history. and a love of technology. And if a person has both of those interests, pretty soon their focus will focus towards the Great Pyramid, the essentially the first skyscraper ever built by man. So that's how I got interested in the Great Pyramid.
As a researcher into the Great Pyramid, what was it like actually being there and being able to study the Great Pyramid firsthand?
Oh, my.
Oh, my.
I recommend it for anybody if they get a chance to go to Egypt. We sent a research team there a few years ago to do some on-site research. It's awe-inspiring. It transcends whatever you're going to read in a book. To stand next to a stone that's so massive, it's incomprehensible, really, to figure out how it was moved by conventional means, and just to be there and to see something that humans, just like us, were able to accomplish, it's awe-inspiring.
Stephen, please stand by. You and I have to take a two-minute commercial break. We'll be back shortly. Stephen Myers is my special guest this hour, XO Nation. He is the author of Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. His website is www.thepump.org. That's www.thepump.org. Stephen Myers and I will be back on the other side of this two-minute commercial break. As the X-Zone continues, live from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, on the X-Zone Broadcast Network and the Talkstar Radio Network. Don't go away, X-Zone Nation. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
Is it a conspiracy if it's all true?
The power to control and monitor every human being on the planet.
I don't know how they knew all about us.
One major world crisis away from having a totalitarian type system.
Are you aware? Yes or no?
Discover the new world order. Shadow government.
The main event is the wholesale destruction of the world economy.
The push for every nation on the globe to identify and number all of its citizens.
Evil exists.
We are living in the last days.
Shadow government. Own it today. Visit cloud10pictures.com. That's cloud10pictures.com.
Looking in your eyes, I see a paradise. This world that I found is too good to be true. Standing here beside you, want so much to give you this love in my heart that I'm feeling for you.
Let them say we're crazy. I don't care about that. Put your hand in.
And welcome back. Stephen Myers is my special guest this hour. His website is www.thepump.org. That's thepump.org. He's the author of Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. And Stephen, I guess one of the most common questions you get asked is, how was the Great Pyramid built?
Okay, the normal idea is that Egyptologists say that there was a big ramp, but our theory is quite a bit different. We feel that what was used was water and water locks, like the Erie Canal or the Panama Canal has water locks, and stones on barges from the Nile were brought up a series of water locks right to the building site. But this is the key part. We feel that the Great Pyramid was built level by level. So imagine the first level of the Great Pyramid, the casing stones, the outside stones are set in place, and those stones are very precise and cemented together so they're watertight. So that makes like a big pond if it's filled with water. And also we feel, based on a lot of research, that there was a water lock from that would allow barges to go from the Nile all the way up into that pond. So stones on barges were able to be easily moved with water locks all the way into this pond impounded by the first level of casing stones. Then the interior stones were set in place from the barges, and then the first level of the Great Pyramid was completed. And that process was continued by adding another water lock up to the second level, putting in the second level of casing stones around the outside, filling that up to be a pond, and then filling up the interior with interior stones. So it was done very systematically with essentially water locks are a 21st century technology of choice. In the Panama Canal, they're building new water locks that are bigger. It's a modern technology that we feel was used in ancient times.
Is there any evidence to substantiate your theory?
Oh, certainly. The casing stones that are still there, there's only a few left, about 1% of the casing stones. Mm-hmm. Those stones are still cemented together and are watertight, and, after 4,000 years. So that's evidence that's evidence. It's there. Those stones are still watertight. Mm-hmm. Some would say, oh, that's to keep the pesky Egyptian rain outside. You know, it's like a watertight roof over a building.
Right.
But that's an interpretation of the evidence. Our interpretation of the direct physical evidence on the Giza Plateau is that that was built to keep water in. So that's one form of evidence. Another piece of evidence is Petrie, who was the grandfather of Egyptology or whatever, Flanders Petrie, he felt that the Great Pyramid was built level by level. And that he also felt, there's references to this in my book, that each level, the casing stones were put in first. So he has a whole bunch of evidences for that. The current thought in Egyptology is that it was built similar to how we see it now, and then a sheathing of these precision-cut casing stones were put on the outside. But based on Petrie's work and his evidence, it is supports our sequence of construction that we feel happened when the Great Pyramid was built. So that's just some of the evidences.
Now, where did this unusual theory come from?
Okay, most ideas, like the idea of the wheel and other things, you don't know where they came from, but this idea actually came from one man. He was a independent researcher, a savant, actually, just a visionary, a brilliant man, mm-hmm. in that his name was Edward Kunkel. He lived in Ohio. Did much of his research about the Great Pyramid, and he felt that the Great Pyramid was built as infrastructure for the civilization that built it. And he felt that the purpose of the Great Pyramid was that it was a water pump, believe it or not. And that water pump supplied the water for these series of ponds as the construction progressed up towards the sky, and supplied the water for the water locks for the stones on barges. And that's where this theory came from. Our foundation is named after his book. His book was called Pharaoh's Pump, mm-hmm. and we're the Pharaoh's Pump Foundation to honor him and his research. His book was last published, and he published it privately with a very small distribution, kind of rare book. Was in the early 1980s, and he died in the mid-1980s. So there's been a lot of research built on the foundation of his research from that time until now. If anyone gets a chance to read that book, I would certainly recommend it, Edward Kunkel's book.
Stephen,
that's where this theory came from.
Why is there still so much mystery and controversy over the true building of the pyramid and its actual use?
Okay, that's a very easy question. The reason is, and this is very important, the reason is that Egyptologists and virtually everybody else, but mainly Egyptologists, have developed a theory. Egyptology is a science that has developed a theory, but they have never demonstrated any of their theory. It's amazing. They have never made a casing stone. Egyptology has been like a science, if you want to call them a science, for 200 years. They've never made a casing stone. Isn't that interesting? They say that working people did it using hand tools, but it's never been demonstrated. They say that there was a ramp. They've never moved a casing stone, which is about 16 tons. They've never moved a casing stone up a ramp. The largest stones are about 70 tons. Egyptologists have never moved a 70-ton stone or payload, like a locomotive. They've never moved one inch. And so they've offered all of these ideas, but essentially hypothesis, but without any demonstration to substantiate it. And that's why there's whirling controversy about how the Great Pyramid was built, why it was built. I would submit to your audience that if that the way they say those things were done cannot be done, physically cannot be done. In fact, our foundation has a $50,000 scholarship, a research scholarship that we're offering to help somebody demonstrate the making of five casing stones and then moving those stones. The details are at our website. But if you can make those stones in the same way that Egyptologists say, any book in any library will tell you how it's done. If you can do that, you get $50,000. Egyptologists say one stone every 2 minutes removed. That's 10 minutes work if you have the whole complement of workers.
All right, so... So if I understand you
correctly... So that's the point.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, Stephen... The pyramid was built using a series of removable locks, raising barges up to the different levels, and that the main purpose of the pyramid wasn't a tomb for the kings or the pharaohs; it was a water pump.
Yes.
What was
the contention?
All right, now. How did the pump work?
Okay. The way the pump worked is not obviously evident in modern times, or else everyone would understand it. We believe that that the civilization that built the technology to make the Great Pyramid and to operate it used technology that was different than ours. And they used the same laws of physics, but that they understood things that we don't understand. Okay, fair enough.
Fair enough. Now, okay. were these builders from this planet or another planet?
Okay, that's who, and that's beyond the focus of our research. Our concern is mainly how it was built and why. Okay, and the reason why we don't get into who is because everyone starts talking about Imhotep or certain pharaohs and all of that, and gets into religious applications and all that. We're more interested in how the stones were moved from point A to B, and then the purpose of the structure. The structure doesn't, its interior is very complex and doesn't seem to be a tomb. That's why Egyptologists have come up with an idea that there was several changes of plans in mid-construction, because it doesn't fit their theory anyway. It doesn't look like a tomb, but we feel that the complexity of the interior, with a whole number of chambers, is the reason for that is to be a water pump. It's more of a machine than a place to house a dead body.
All right, stand by, Stephen. You and I have to take a commercial break with the news. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Exo Nation, Stephen Myers is our special guest. www.thepump.org. He's the author of Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. Stephen and I will be back on the other side of this commercial break with the news as the X-Zone continues from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, on the X-Zone Broadcast Network and the Talkstar Radio Network. Don't go away, we'll be back after the news. Think. The long-held belief in the afterlife, immediately after death, and the teaching about going to heaven or burning in hell forever have been very costly, futile, and most dangerous for many of God's children in every generation and religion. Just consider the impact of these man-made teachings in the past and in our days. In the world of Christianity in particular, and to a lesser degree in Judaism, many have been and are still being tormented by the fear that either they or their loved ones are going to burn in hell forever. For the illusion and the promise of going to heaven, many have been and still are impoverishing their families for the sake of going to heaven or avoiding hell. And how dangerous are these unbiblical and contrary to the Quran teachings to many? Well, consider these painful facts of life. For ages, both Christians and Muslims have shed rivers of blood for the supposed glory of going to heaven, for the kingdom of heaven or paradise. This battle for an elusive future is not over yet, by far. The bloody ongoing Middle East conflict since the time of the Crusades is based on the belief that Muhammad has ascended up to heaven via Jerusalem. All fanatic Islamic terror, be it in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in America, and elsewhere, all suicide bombings, and the greatest danger of all, a fanatic nuclear Iran and most dangerous regime, is all based on this religiously concocted teaching about the afterlife and the promise of heaven or paradise. The president of Iran declared plainly, "The very reason of becoming a nuclear nation and economically powerful is so that we can prepare the way for the coming of the Mahdi to rule over all the earth. This would obviously necessitate the destruction of all unbelievers." Yes, truth is at times more fascinating than fiction, and the belief in the afterlife or going to heaven or hell is just that, pure fiction. Is it worth living or dying for? You decide. For more information, visit www.mikemjoseph.com. Find out about the other book that has the answers and the truth. That's www.mikemjoseph.com.
My name is Michael Telstar, Canada's leading mentalist from Toronto, Ontario.
Hi, my name is Splenda, and you're listening to my dad, Ron McConnell, on the X-Zone.
This is Psychic Dorothy from St. Catharines, and you're listening to Rob McConnell.
Hello, my name is Holly Reeves, an astrologer from Astro4U, and you're listening to Canada's number one paranormal radio show, The X-Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Welcome to The X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Welcome back, everyone. Stephen Myers is our special guest. He's the author of Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. That's Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. And his website is www.thepump.org. Stephen, have you heard from any of the well-known Egyptologists or hobbyists about your theory? And if so, what do they say about it?
There's actually quite a following for this direction of research. I'm even surprised myself. It's a phenomenon, really. There's a lot of interest in what we're doing. People that are interested in environmental issues, because we feel that this pump is environmentally friendly. The way it operates, there are people who want to have an alternative to oil that are very interested in our research. It's an energy system, if you will. Because pumped water you can use both for irrigation, but also to generate electricity. So people that are interested in alternative energy systems that are new and emerging, this isn't new. It's will be a redevelopment of a very ancient technology. And there's also people that are interested in our nation's self-sufficiency, that we don't need foreign oil. And also there's people that... That want the development of this type of technology because they feel that oil, our primary source of energy, is a destabilizing, you know, factor in the world. So if we can develop these alternatives, but yes, there's a lot of interest in it. What our foundation is trying to do is a very big goal. We're trying to understand the genius that is behind the construction of the Great Pyramid, and understand technologies that aren't familiar to even scientists of today. All sciences are just scratching the surface, and we think that the ancient mankind understood things that we didn't, and we're trying to understand that technology, redevelop it, and make it available for our modern but very troubled world.
Tell me, Stephen, tell me about the people who actually built the pyramid and this great pump. Where did they get the knowledge?
Oh, gee. Well, they were probably, I don't know who built the Great Pyramid, but they were probably a civilization that had among them some geniuses. Like the development of alternating current, a rather sophisticated concept, was developed in one afternoon by Nikola Tesla. So probably I would assume that there were some geniuses that developed some very sophisticated techniques to use the water and to pump the water. I know in the Middle East, there's examples of some rather high technologies, like the Baghdad battery. You've probably had shows that have mentioned that. There are some artifacts that were uncovered in the Middle East that were electroplated, believe it or not. That's rather sophisticated. But this water pumping technology is to me, it seems like a level... You know, a quantum leap even from those things in sophistication and technology, and we've done a lot of experimentation. We've had some numerous newspaper articles here in the area about what we're doing. We've had some components, subassemblies, and that type of thing that we're working on. You know, that's actually our most important aspect, our most important thing that we're doing in our mission statement of our foundation, but it's also the most cost intensive, if you will, to build a robust prototype. So that's what we're doing.
What about the other pyramids around the world and in Egypt? Were these also built using the same water technique as you've described in the Great Pyramid?
Okay, that's a good question. Now, all the pyramids, like in the Valley of the Nile, they're all built with different levels of precision, different sizes. Mm-hmm. The angles of the sides are different. You know, some are pretty steep, some aren't. Some were built from mud brick. Some were built from limestone. And so it's hard to say. I would say that none of the other pyramids were water pumps. Some have suggested that the Great Pyramid is the most precise, but also the oldest, and that the other pyramids are facsimiles that are used by a later civilization that use them for their own purposes. Similar to a concept called a cargo cult, where a high civilization has like devices and things, and the natives or whatever kind of worship those things, or they make idols and whatever based on that stuff. It's an interesting subject, cargo cults. You can look it up on the internet. But that's one explanation for all the pyramids. Certainly some were used for religious purposes or for something else, but that doesn't mean that that they were all. Let's say all but the Great Pyramid, the pyramids could have been tombs. But if that's true, then the Egyptologist would be 99% correct about the pyramids in general, but 100% wrong about the Great Pyramids in specifically it.
How about the fact that the pyramid is so geographically correct, it is also astronomically correct? Was this just fluke?
All researchers have the same direct physical evidence, okay? And they all come up with ideas and theories from that, and those ideas are interpretations of evidence. There's certainly interpretations about a lot of the features of the Great Pyramids. One example is that the shafts point up to stars.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I'm sure you've had shows about that.
Yes, we
star
have.
Alignments of the shafts.
Yep.
Well, anything that points up has to point to a star. There's no way that it can't. So also with the precession on the equinoxes,
mm-hmm.
there is, you know, you can have a shaft over the centuries point to several different stars. So you can develop, believe it or not, theories about all of this massive amount of data about the Great Pyramid, as well as massive amounts of interpretation. But what our foundation is trying to do is to start with a clean slate and say, big heavy objects were moved from point A to point B. How was that done? And we're trying to understand just that, how it was done, and also why it was done. And we're going to try not to get into a bunch of religious interpretations, you know, with the scripture or any of that, or star charts, or Bible prophecy, or all of the mutually exclusive ideas. But we're going to try to understand how it was built, understand that technology, redevelop it into modern applications,
mm-hmm.
and hopefully be able to help the world through doing this. That's our goal.
Why did the Egyptians require a pump of that size? Like, that must have put out a lot of water.
Yes. Actually, the largest structure in North America, United States and Canada, the largest structure ever built,
mm-hmm.
was the Grand Coulee Dam. I've been there also.
Yes.
It's about 11 times the size of the Great Pyramid, and it's awesome. In fact, the slope of the face of the Grand Coulee Dam reminds me of what the face of the Great Pyramid would look like, smooth. But anyway, it is a water pump. It makes a lot of electricity,
mm-hmm.
the Grand Coulee Dam. But it also pumps water up to, I think, a million acres. I don't know how many hectares that would be, but it irrigates like a million acres in perpetuity in that area of that's in Washington State. And it turns the desert into a garden. In fact, there are several dams behind the Grand Coulee Dam that back water up clear into Canada. And Canada stores that water and then trades that for electricity. So it's a monumental project, the Grand Coulee Dam.
All right, I understand that.
Okay,
but the question. Let's get back to my original questions. Why?
Okay.
Would the Egyptians require a pump of this magnitude? They didn't have electricity.
Certainly not. But they could use the electricity, they could use the pumped water for a whole host of applications that are examples of high technology. With pumped water, you can make compressed air. At Ragged Chutes in Canada, there's a hydraulic air compressor. It's just an underground chamber that's oddly shaped. Water goes in one end, and without a piston or cylinder, it compresses air. And there's a lot of excavations around the Great Pyramid, and some feel that one of those could have been used to make compressed air.
Is it your contention that the Egyptians had air compressed tools?
My contention is that whoever built the Great Pyramid could have used the pumped water for any number of scientific or industrial purposes. They could have powered large machinery. There's another researcher, you probably had him on, Christopher Dunn.
Had him on many times,
He contends that there was some large-scale machinery used in ancient Egypt by somebody. But anyway, I contend that the water from the Great Pyramid water pump could have been used to power that type of machinery. And there's a lot of scientific things that you can do with pumped water besides run machinery, besides make compressed air, possibly generate electricity, and even do things that we can't imagine. So there was a lot of purposes besides just irrigating above the floodplain. The largest structure in Africa is the Aswan Dam, the High Aswan Dam, and it is the capstone of a large irrigation project that allows Egypt to irrigate above the floodplain. So modern Egyptians use a big water pump. Ancient Egyptians used a big water pump.
But
they operate differently.
But how come in the Bible there is no mention of the Great Pyramid being used as a water pump, and why would the Bible and other historical references point to the fact that it was the slaves that built the pyramid? And to my knowledge, anywhere is there a mention of this lock procedure except the theory that you're presenting.
Oh, certainly. Okay. We contend that possibly the Great Pyramid was built before the last catastrophe, and that the civilization that built it was destroyed. And one of the few things left was the Great Pyramid. There's a lot of people that a lot of researchers feel the Great Pyramid is older than the ancient Egyptians. And it's fascinating that some of the oral traditions and myths about the Great Pyramid is that the stones were floated in place. And that idea could be from a remnant of understanding how the Great Pyramid was really built.
All right, stand by, Stephen. You and I have to take a commercial break. We'll be back shortly. Stephen Myers is our guest. He's the author of Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid, www. You ready for this? www.thepump.org. That's www.thepump.org. My name is Rob McConnell. This is The X-Zone. Still to come on tonight's show, we're going to be speaking to Juanita Rose Violini about her very interesting book. It's a weird book about weird things that happen during a weird almanac. I'll be back on the other side of this commercial break. Don't go away.
Is it a conspiracy if it's all true?
The power to control and monitor every human being on the planet.
I don't know how they knew all about us.
One major world crisis away from having a totalitarian type system.
Are you aware? Yes or no?
Discover the new world order. Shadow government.
The main event is the wholesale destruction of the world economy.
The push for every nation on the globe to identify and number all of its citizens.
Evil exists.
We are living in the last days.
Shadow government. Own it today. Visit cloud10pictures.com. That's cloud10pictures.com.
Is our guest this hour. His book is entitled Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid, and his website is www.thepump.org. First of all, Stephen, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight here on the X Zone. It's been great talking to you. I admire your research and the reason why you're doing it. Hats off to you. What do the Egyptologists in Egypt say about your theory?
Okay, the Egyptologists around the world, they won't even say anything about it. It's a wall of silence.
Hmm.
They don't say anything about their lack of demonstrations either.
Right.
So Egyptology is kind of at a precipice where they're either going to have to engage in a scientific method or change what Egyptology is. So my book talks a lot about that. Also, the website has some pictures about the construction process and more information. So those pictures say 1,000 words, maybe better than I can say in this interview. But I sure appreciate being involved in your show. What a wonderful opportunity you've given me.
Well, it's our great pleasure, Steve. Steve, what are your plans for the future?
We're going to, since the book is out now, we're going to develop a documentary,
mm-hmm.
probably do that in-house, and it's going to be probably YouTube quality, if you will. But we're going to use that to pitch a deal to the networks to make like an hour-long documentary with much better animations and that type of thing. So that's a project in the works. And we're going to do possibly another trip back to Egypt if we can work that out. Continue work on the research of how the Great Pyramid was built and why, and do things like programs like yours to help get the word out. So there's a lot going on. And if somebody wants to become involved, just send us an email or fax, or even on our website, we have a phone number you can call.
Now, can they send you an email to your email address at the pump?
Yes.
All right. So that's steve@thepump.org. That's and the
right.
name.
That's my personal email address.
Steve, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the X Zone tonight. Congratulations. Continue the great work and keep us in mind if you come up with any new evidence. Love to hear from you again.
Oh, thank you very much.
X Zone Nation, Steve Myers is the gentleman we're talking to this hour. He's the author of Lost Technologies of the Great Pyramid. The website is www.thepump.org. That's www.thepump.org. In the next hour, I'll be speaking to Juanita Rose Violini. We're going to be talking to her about her book. It's the new compendium of the paranormal. And we're going to be talking to her about the Almanac of the Infamous, the Incredible, and the Ignored. I'll be back on the other side of this commercial break as the X-Zone continues, live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Don't go away, X-Zone Nation. We'll be back on the other side of this commercial break.